Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Freedom in the Christian Life, Overcoming Bitterness. In this session, we'll be looking at Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14, Freedom of the Mind. When dealing with life's issues, it is crucial to find root problems. So often, in a reactionary manner, surface problems are focused on, and there's no resolution. Surface problems are obvious symptoms of deeper issues. Things like wrong dress, slander, profanity, lying, stealing, vandalism, drugs, pornography, and arguments are not the true battleground. Surface causes are deeper issues, but are still at the surface symptom level. Inferiority, frustration, anger, envy, insecurity, discontentment, guilt, lust, and pride must be handled, but are really symptoms of still deeper issues. Root problems are where resolution of life's issues begins. There are just three root level problems common to all, which produce the surface causes, which in turn result in the surface issues we must deal with in life. The root cause at the foundation of root problems, surface causes and problems, is resisting God's grace. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 15 to 17. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. God gives us grace to handle situations. If we act on that grace, we gain victory. If we resist the grace, we have failure, sin. Much of counseling today is ineffective or temporary because of a lack of understanding this principle. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm or treating a fever without treating the infection. Let me take you on a whirlwind tour of the previous three messages of this series, Freedom in the Christian Life. Number one, through sin, ground or place in our soul is given over to Satan's control. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 address this. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. That word place, the Greek word that's translated here is topos, the root word for our English word topography. The devil will gladly take all the ground in your soul you let him for his evil and destructive purposes. Second, Satan then builds strongholds on his new real estate. The battle is real. This is real. These spiritual entities, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, confirms it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The spiritual battlefield is the soul. It's in your mind. It's in your will. It's in your emotions. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The strongholds are places of human confidence, and the arguments are the intentions which precede and determine our actions. And the high thing is a barrier against the truth of Scripture. And then third, God allows torturers to come from the strongholds and afflict other parts of the soul. Matthew chapter 18, verses 34 and 35. And his master, verse 34, was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was done to him. And then Jesus, after telling this parable, he turned to his disciples and he said in verse 35, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So just as that king turned that wicked servant, that unmerciful servant who received forgiveness of all of his debt and wouldn't forgive his fellow servant, the king threw him in jail and put him under the torturers. And Jesus said that God will do the same thing to us if we don't forgive as Jesus forgave us. So what are the torturers? Well, Satan already has the mind with its arguments and intentions. He also has the will in the high things, the barriers to truth. Satan now goes for the emotions. Fear, depression, anger, lust, anxiety, and so on and so on. Have you ever wondered where anxiety attacks are from? Listen, non-biblical counseling will not help because sin is usually at the root. It is a war, and the lost ground must be regained. And how do you do that? Well, first you have to confess each sin that God brings to mind to gain forgiveness in that area of ground. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then after confession, forgiveness, we need to ask God to evict Satan from that forgiven ground. You see, Satan takes the ground, builds his strongholds, and sends out his torturers. But once we're forgiven, Satan still has that stronghold. He still has that ground. It's kind of like when the landlord wants to evict a tenant. He can't just go there and throw him out. He has to go through a process. He has to file for eviction. And once the eviction is approved by the court, he then has to ask the one who has the power to put them out, the deputy, whoever has that authority in law enforcement, to actually take them out of there. And spiritually speaking, we need to ask God to evict Satan from the forgiven ground. It's forgiven now. It's for us. God has to give it back. Psalm 23 in verse 3, David says, "He restores my soul." See, we gave up through sin ground in our soul, and Satan took it. Well, he's been dwelling in it, and we asked God for forgiveness, and he's cleansed us, and he now has to send Satan off of it and give it back to us. But see, even though we get it back, those strongholds that Satan built, those arguments, all of that is still there. We need to tear those things down. We need to tear them down with the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we need to confess the sin. We need to ask God to evict Satan from the ground. We need to tear down the strongholds that are left. And then we need to forgive our offenders fully. Matthew chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In this session, we will deal with tearing down strongholds. As I didn't give it much attention in the previous sessions, sin is forgiven, ground is regained, but the castles, the strongholds are still standing. The mindsets, the arguments, and the thought patterns must be dealt with. The insights to do so are in Psalm 19, our text, verses 7 to 14. Verses 7 through 9 contain 6 insights for victory, for tearing down strongholds. First, gain a knowledge of God's law. Psalm 19, the first part of verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Pentateuch, the Ten Commandments, the whole Old Testament. It is through the law that we understand sin. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Second, read God's examples, the second part of verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's biographies are examples for us. Every situation we face has a parallel in the Bible. Our problems today are the same that Bible characters dealt with in their day. We must read and study God's word to do what is right before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And then third, apply God's principles. The first part of verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Precise application of the Bible to practical situations. God's statutes lead us into godly living. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then fourth, learn to make wise decisions. Second part of verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is to love God and love others. When we choose to obey God's commandments, we receive his grace to handle the situation, and God receives glory. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Fifth, develop and follow scriptural disciplines. Verse 9, the first part of it. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In addition to worship and Bible study, fasting, prayer, giving, memorizing, and meditating on scripture. These biblical disciplines will result in spiritual growth. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And then sixth, witness to the results. The second part of verse 9. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Judgments, decrees, pronouncements, these teach others about God's love and causes others to respect the word of God and desire to follow his ways. Acts chapter 5, verse 11, after the whole thing with Ananias and Sapphira and them dying because of lying to the Holy Spirit, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. All these insights are briefly summarized in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You think about all that. You be free from any bitterness by the freedom of your mind. And you have a great day.